Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, folks. Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you today. Happy Thursday. It's a pleasure to spend some time this afternoon with you, so thanks for choosing us. A lot going on this morning in the news, specifically this historic peace agreement that the president has announced between Israel and the UAE. I'm excited to talk at 12:26 with Dakota Wood. He's the fancy name is Senior Research Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. In short, and the way I understand it, he's way smarter than I am when it comes to foreign policy issues and the impact of something like this. I want to talk to somebody who has an expert opinion on this, because I read that headline and I'm like, oh, Trump did it again. That's awesome. I can't explain it to you. So I've talked to a couple of people who are paying very close attention to this specific topic. And what I can gather is the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And this might be one of those circumstances. So thank you for tuning into us today. I'm putting these shows together. Maybe that's because I've been back for, a week and a half now from vacation? No, about a week. Wednesday last week was my... So about a week. Mm-hmm. I've done a full week back. It's like when you go on vacation and you're away. When you come back, you get to unpack your suitcase and put things back. And sometimes you put things back and you go, is that really where I want that to be? Or there are things that stay in your suitcase that you haven't used for a week. And you're like, why do I think I need that in the first place? Why did I even pack it? It didn't come out of my suitcase on vacation. And there it sits. And I don't want to touch it.
That happens to me a lot.
I'm too busy to do it. And really, that means, no, you're not too busy. Nobody's too busy right now. Give me a break. I put these shows together and it's like, okay, Kamala Harris is still the VP nominee, and that's great. It's historical. I acknowledge that there is a historical context to this. I think it's a positive thing that we can once again show that we are not a racist nation. I will also put out there that when Kamala dropped out and Cory Booker dropped out of the Democratic primary, remember there was that media circuit hit where everybody was like, this just goes to show you. This country's not ready for a person of color to be. And it's like, first of all, you know, Exhibit A, you're talking about the Democratic primary here. So the only people you're criticizing are those who are polling for who's going to vote in the Democratic primary. So you're really only knocking down the people who are participating in said Democratic primary. And second of all, if you're going to champion the historic nature, as I believe that you should, as a person of color, a woman of color being nominated as the vice president, we did have a black president for 8 years. I think that that counts for something, and if it means something, then we can celebrate it in the context of that. It's kind of like the trying to have your cake and eat it too situation, where I think that the majority of Americans are watching this and you know, acknowledging it. I haven't heard anybody say... Anybody. I haven't heard a single person, and I've seen some pretty nasty comments about Kamala Harris, that as much as I detest her as a politician, I am detested by the comments as well. Nobody's like, she's not qualified because she's a woman. She's not qualified because she's a person of color. I haven't seen a single human espouse those sentiments. So, you know, if you're going to try to push the narrative that somehow or another America isn't ready for this, we've had a person of color as the president of the United States, who was reelected as the president of the United States, against the conveyor belt Republican, Mitt Romney, I might add, who is as beige as it possibly gets, not in skin color, although I don't know what foundation color he uses. I'm an ivory. Katie, are you an olive? Are you?
No, I'm ivory also.
Mm-hmm. You?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ryan?
I would be a pasty.
I'm classic
like, what
ivory.
Kind of pasty?
you know what kind.
Different kind of show. It always is when Ryan gets one word to say.
Yes.
There's my contribution for the day. I'll talk
I'm
to you
done.
Later.
Well, we were talking about presidential candidates, and Ryan wanted to talk about pasties, so we just started talking about pasties.
Switch gears.
Speaking about pastries, we're going to have Jim Cruda at 1:40. He is with Cruda Bakery in Collinsville, and I got a message from him, and he's like, what's going on with what this governor is saying about business owners, who they can and can't serve, and what's going to happen to business owners if they do decide to serve people that the governor says that they cannot serve? I thought that we were in bakeries supposed to serve everybody. No? Oh, this changed. Now,
that was
here.
An amazing segue.
You were here. Yeah. We didn't even plan that. How was I supposed to know you were going to talk about pasties?
I mean, pastries. Pasties to pastries. That was
professionals.
Amazing.
I booked a bakery today just to talk about that.
Man, I just punched my mic, apparently.
Cruda Bakery in Collinsville, man. Ryan?
Oh, yeah. We lived like a street away for most of my childhood.
That's
and
why
so
they bought that house there.
That's right. Yeah.
You were
location,
the biggest
location,
client.
Location.
We could walk to Cruda. It was awesome.
So we're going to I'm excited to talk about that because I haven't really gotten into the details of the J.B. Pritzker. We talked with Darren Bailey about it a little bit. You can catch that on the podcast as well. I need to check my email right now. Let me look here. Let's just do this live here. I got a phone call this morning.
Oh.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I didn't get it. I didn't pick it up because my husband has gone back to work for like before school year starts. He's in all the meetings and everything. So I'm preparing for the show here at home, and I have all the kids and the dog. And usually the dog is the most complicated one of that. So I didn't get to the phone call, but I got a call back from Katie Stewart's office. Not from Katie Stewart.
Okay.
And they left a message and they wanted my email address. Which I did try to give four times yesterday,
yep.
But they wouldn't listen. So, but they called back, and she's very nice. So let's wait and see. I don't have an email yet, but I'm sure that they're working on some sort of response. Maybe a cease and desist. I don't really know.
I hope not.
We need to deliver papers to you. Where should we deliver them?
Ryan.Wiggins.
I got a cease and desist from Katie Stewart. Why?
Or just stand on the corner, Cruda Bakery.
That's nice that you got a call back, though.
Yeah, I thought that was good. And I wanted to put that out there. So I am waiting on whatever email may be coming. And I'm checking. I gave them two emails. One was my work email and one was the AnnieFryShow@gmail.com, just so that I could make sure. Because sometimes, you know, work emails get filtered a lot because they don't want things. And I didn't want to miss it. I'm checking right now and I don't see anything. The question that I asked Katie Stewart's office yesterday, or no, last week initially was, I would just like to know, because all of this news had come out about Mike Madigan. And now what was it? How much? 450 millions or beans? Did you say?
I think in millions here.
Millions.
Yeah.
$450 million. There's a corruption charge out there. There's a lawsuit out there. And now Madigan is tied up in a RICO case that looks like it's going to get picked up. And there's a story out today that 53 Illinois Democrats have come out against Mike Madigan. And I just wanted to know if my representative was going to be one of those Democrats. And I haven't gotten an answer yet. And as of yesterday, I was told that the only reason I wanted to know was because I would tell you the answer. And so I'm hoping that if somebody else can get the answer out, because they're not a radio show host, that maybe you would inform me of what that response is, because I'd really love to know as a constituent.
Do you care to speculate? Is this going to be a statement from Katie Stewart, do you believe, about the issue?
I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I want to give that's why I called them the first time.
Yeah.
And as I said after I called them the first time, I said on the air, made the phone call. They took my information. They said they'd get back to me. And I remember saying I talked to a very nice lady who said she would do that. Had no problems. I understand, like, I'm not going to call and demand an answer right now, especially if the representative isn't in the office. Like, they can't speak for her, but they can get an answer from her. They can certainly give me a call back or send me an email, which, you know, I even provided my email address yesterday, which was kind of a concession for me, because I would like to have the conversation. I would like to be able to ask follow-up questions that we're going to be going back and forth with. And, you know, like, local politics, state politics, we don't pay as much attention to it. I got a whole section here about Tucker Carlson calling Kamala Kamala, and everybody knows he's doing it on purpose. And then this Democratic guy comes on his show and immediately calls Tucker out for mispronouncing that name. I'd like to know if he's ever going to be back on Tucker's show again. And then the next day, Joe Biden pronounces it exactly the way. You can't make this stuff up, people. It's comedy gold. It's real. And my goodness, I could talk about it, but it's like so easy. And what am I going to do? I'm not going to influence the Kamala Harris, Joe Biden. The Joe Biden, Kamala Harris ticket. I'm not going to change that. And if you're listening to this show, chances are you're probably not thrilled with that ticket. You might hate Donald Trump. You might love him. I love this president. I think he's a fantastic president. I know everybody who listens to the show doesn't. I know that there are people who listen to the show who love Joe Biden and who really love Kamala Harris. So I consider all of that. But I also know that in the state of Illinois, my property taxes are bonkers. Ryan, taxes in the state of Illinois, can you vouch for me here?
I hate, it's the reason I hate the state the most. I'm not kidding.
It's the only reason I hate the state, because they take money out of my paycheck and then they spend it on God knows what. And then I look at my checking account, you know, the proverbial state checking account, there's no money in there. There's a huge, like, it's like Mickey Mouse kind of red number in there. Like, these, it's just play money at this point. How much the deficit is. So when I want to know if the person who I think is the most responsible for it, it's not Monica Bristow, it's not Katie Stewart, it's not LaToya Greenwood. I always want to say Lee Greenwood, and that's wrong. That's different. Well, it's not the people who are right across the river, who are Democrats, who are in office, who maybe have just gotten there. Some are newer than others. It's Mike Madigan. So if I have a Democratic rep who wants to make sure that they're still representing me and not the Mike Madigan way, I would want to tell you that. But I can't get the answer. And if I have a representative who's going to take Mike Madigan's money and then support him to be the speaker, because listen, the number one reason why I want to flip these blue seats red is because I want to get rid of Mike Madigan. The number one reason isn't the, you know, the local Democrat. I know a lot of people who in local politics are Democrats and are very, very good people, very well-intended people. And local politics is a little bit different than national politics when it comes to Republican and Democrat. I still vote Republican, but they're your neighbors. You know them personally. And you want to make sure that the person who's representing you and voting for you on your local school board, on your local county board, that they're advocating for you. So when it comes to Mike Madigan in the state of Illinois, is Monica Bristow going to represent the people in the 111th? Or is she going to represent Mike Madigan? Simple question. She should be able to answer that pretty simply. Is Katie Stewart going to represent you, Ryan, in the 112th? Is Katie Stewart going to represent me in the 112th? Or is she going to represent Mike Madigan? Mike Madigan is the key to giving Illinoisans the possibility of changing this state. If he's no longer the speaker, everything is on the table. That doesn't mean it's going to be fixed. That's when the work begins. But it's the key that opens the door to a different kind of future for the state of Illinois. Because right now, the future is in the back of a U-Haul truck headed into Missouri for a brighter day tomorrow. Ryan, did you want to say something?
Just real quick from the Facebook and the YouTube pages, Patrick said he called Monica Bristow yesterday. Wendy says she called and Representative Bristow called her back and left a message yesterday evening. She thinks they were alerted to this show and that listeners were calling. So pretty cool.
Did she get an answer?
She says she got a message and that she's going to return the call this evening. So I think they're playing phone tag.
I want to know if you guys find out. Like, I'm trying so hard to get this information for you. I want to deliver it to you. But they told me that the only reason why I want the answer to this question is so I can tell you. Well, that's a big reason, but that's not the only reason. I raised my family here. My money that I'm earning right now while I'm talking to you, because this is my job and my husband's job, which is also in Madison County here, we have money come out of our paycheck to go into the cesspool that is Springfield, Illinois, to pay for the things that Mike Madigan navigates in and out all of the time. He's the one who gets to open the door to legislation being discussed. He's the one who closes it. It's all Mike Madigan. So the question is, are you going to support Mike Madigan for speaker or not? If they respond back to you and don't give you the answer yes or no to that question, you haven't done enough yet. You need to keep pressing. Yeah, Matthew is commenting on Facebook, says, oh, I could put my stuff in a pod on my way to Florida. Yeah, go visit my brother-in-law, which I have done. And when I was in Jacksonville, Florida earlier in June, it felt very free. It felt a little more like Lee Greenwood than LaToya Greenwood. I'll just put it that way.
That's why you're a pro.
Well, I'm way past time. Somebody shut me up. Gosh.
That's why you're the host.
Quiet, you.
Where's my producer? Danny, shut up.
Shut up.
We have to make that money so Illinois can have something to spend right now. Who's this?
Katie, Norman? You're an agent of Mike Madigan.
Yeah, no kidding. Katie's like, got to make that money. Illinois's got to go deeper in debt, and they got to take your money to do it. All right, we'll be right back. We're going to talk to Dakota Wood, who is the smart guy from Heritage Foundation, who can tell us all about this peace agreement. The president's administration is touting this as a huge victory. We'll see what Dakota thinks about it. I'm reading your comments, people. If you're helping me out on the phone calls, I need to know what they say to you. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There's been nobody tougher to China or to Russia or to anybody else than I have. Despite a media that's bought out by China, much more so than Russia. Do you ever notice they always say Russia, Russia, Russia? They don't mention China, 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 because most of these people, like you look at the NBA, they're bought off by China. And China is, you know, the big pot of gold. So they say, oh, let's use Russia instead of China. But China is a big problem. And I've made it a much smaller problem.
The president has been advocating for a lot of pro-American policies, of course, throughout the entirety of his presidency so far. It's not shocking to hear him once again bringing this to the forefront, but there are other things, shockingly, other than China and Russia, that are on the main stage here today. And this was touted as a very big deal, and we wanted to make sure that we got an expert opinion on this specific issue here with the deal that has been negotiated between Israel and the UAE, and President Trump was excited about it today. And so we bring on Dakota Wood. He is a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Dakota, it's great to have you back on the show. Thank you for the time.
Oh, absolutely. Good to be with you. And it's a good news story this time around. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Break it down for us, because I think this is definitely something that the majority of Americans are not, like, they don't have their finger on the pulse of what's going on in the Middle East. What kind of deal, peace agreement is this, and what's the global impact?
Well, you know, since the 1940s and the formation of the State of Israel, it hasn't had any diplomatic relations with other countries in the Middle East until 1979, the conclusion of a war as a peace deal with Egypt, and then in 1994 concluded a full diplomatic relationship with the Kingdom of Jordan. So it's been that long, and they've been on the outs with everybody in the region, and now UAE is stepping forward and saying, we're going to establish these relationships. It's a huge opening that will likely lead to normalization of relationships with Saudi Arabia and other Arab countries in that region. And I think it's really being driven by the very bad behavior of Iran and the frictions between Iran and the Arab states and the rest of the Middle East, and the economic benefits that will come from these normalized relationships.
Dakota, is this the kind of deal that really any U.S. president could have pulled off at any moment given these circumstances, or has Trump specifically been instrumental in these things?
Well, you know, it's all a matter of timing, right? You know, so, what is going on in the world? Was Iran more restive or less so? You know, what is the status of Saudi Arabia? You know, they've got the new king of Saudi Arabia, rather the heir apparent. You know, that's different than it was previously. Changes in prime ministers in Israel. So it's not just the president of the United States. It's the totality of the context, all the other players and the things that are going on. So President Trump, being who he is and putting a lot of attention through Jared Kushner and others to really focus on trying to resolve some of these things, I think they saw a window of opportunity and really expertly dealt with that over about a year to 18-month period of time. Could this have happened under Obama or George W. Bush or Clinton? They all made their attempts at it and were not successful. So I think there is something here about the mixture of personalities involved that really led to this successful outcome.
A peace agreement here between the State of Israel and the United Arab Emirates. You mentioned Iran. What's the impact? Mm-hmm. I mean, our relationship with Iran doesn't seem to be, you know, I would say Facebook would say more than it's complicated. What kind of impact does this have on our political positioning with Iran?
Yeah, it further isolates Iran. I mean, Iran has had written into its constitution, if that matters at all, but, you know, the elimination of Israel. So everything that Iran does in the Middle East in support of terrorist organizations and fomenting attacks through Hezbollah and others against Israel has really put a lot of pressure on the state of Israel. So now, with this opportunity to get the Arab states as opposed to the Persian state of Iran, if they can get the Gulf Cooperation Council states, you know, UAE and Saudi Arabia and some of these others really on the side of Israel, it's more of an economic front and a diplomatic front that can further isolate Iran and really continue the ostracization of it based on Iran's really nasty behavior.
Dakota Wood is Senior Research Fellow at the Heritage Foundation on the phone with us right now. Dakota, when we talk about UAE, that's not usually a country that, you know, makes the news much, at least in this part
right.
of the world. I understand that it's more symbolic than anything, but when you talk about economic relationships, that's where the pressure would really start to come in if you start to get other nations coming into this agreement stuff, right?
A lot of money flows through UAE. I mean, in many ways, it's been a gateway, for international finance. And so it's small in size, but it has a lot of influence in that region, in that community. So sometimes, you know, getting the major player is just too big of a bite of the apple. You know, I mean, could you get Saudi Arabia to formally align with Israel, you know, today? Maybe that's something possible a year from now or what have you. But UAE, it's international. It's got a very cosmopolitan flavor to it. It's comprised of seven emirates with a supreme council that kind of runs things. So it seems to be a very deft strategic move by the Trump administration to leverage this opportunity. And again, it's a gateway, right? It's a door that opens that could lead to a lot of really wonderful things in their future.
Yeah, I'm reading a quote here from the president, said, "We are already discussing this with other nations, so you will probably see others of these." Symbolic or not, I would imagine that the other countries that might feel the pressure about this would see this. And, you know, I kind of compare the facts of what is taking place here on a global scale to the way we consume politics kind of in a daytime soap opera. There's always a new story. There's always something salacious and much more interesting to look at. But this seems to have some weight to it, some actual impact. that could spell something more positive for the peace in the Middle East and also the American relationship with it.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, even the strong critics of the president haven't really had much negative to say. I mean, who can, you know, weigh against peace in the Middle East? I mean, you know, the United States has been trying to support that work for half a century or more. So it's a really, really big deal. And, you know, it's a busy world. It's a complicated world. The president can't just focus on COVID-19 or just focus on a border wall or any of these other things that are going on. There's a lot of irons in the fire. And so for his team to have succeeded in facilitating this agreement, understanding that the complexity of the domestic situations in the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia and Jordan and the other countries in the region, you know, they've got their own populations to deal with. They have to, you know, be concerned about the Palestinians. They're on the West Bank, the role of Hamas in continuing to perpetrate, you know, attacks against Israel. So how is that more, you know, closer to Israel being handled? And the thought is this normalization of relationships with the UAE, 1,200 miles distant, is an entry point into the Arab community. And if you see economic benefits coming from that, a lessening of tensions, Israel putting on hold, you know, the formal annexation or extending sovereignty over portions of the West Bank, this is a good thing. And it hopefully lessens some of the friction points, and it makes it easier to resolve some of these historical problems that the region has dealt with for decades.
Dakota, why has it been a little bit broader sense here that Trump has been able to do some things that every president before, they've said, no, don't kick the hornet's nest. No, that's going to cause more problems. But it seems to be going the other direction when he does stuff that seems controversial.
Well, sometimes you have to kick the hornet's nest. I mean, you know, I think there's been a lack of courage or too much caution in the past. You know, it's been U.S. policy since 1992 to move the United States Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. But there's always some reason about, well, now isn't the right time. Trump comes into office and he says, look, we've been talking about this for almost 30 years. Let's just do it. And you deal with the frictions or the problems that might come up. But if you're always hesitant to create some kind of potential problem, then you'll never take action anywhere, right? I mean, you know, the trade relationships with China, Russian aggression in Eastern Europe, the inability or unwillingness of European NATO partners to better fund their own defense sorts of things. Sometimes you just have to make the hard call. And President Trump's temperament and his personality appears that he is one of these people who is willing to make the hard call in spite of all the criticism. We get past that a couple, 3 months later, conditions are better than they were beforehand, and he moves on to the next problem.
Dakota, you're saying this president has no lack of courage?
Yeah, I think that's evident here in the last 3 years while he's been in office. And yeah, you know, the establishment is a broad brush term, hates him for it, because what it really reveals is that the establishment's inability to change things in the normal way of doing stuff is just really revealed for what it is. You know, when he came into office, North Korea already became a nuclear power. Iran was still sponsoring terrorism. You know, the Europeans weren't funding defense. And he says, how has the standard way of doing things gotten us to a place where we say we want to go, but nobody's able to get us there? And so he just kind of charges ahead and bulldozes all the naysayers and the obstructionists aside. And, you know, he takes a lot of criticism for that, but at least it's changing the game and new things are now possible.
It seems like the lack of courage, specifically out of Washington, D.C., usually results from people afraid of how much political capital they have to gain versus how much they have to lose. And it very rarely has to do with what's the right thing to do here. So
in the diplomatic world, it's always a discussion, it's nuance, it's careful wording, it's relationship building, which takes a really, really long time. And there's a lot to be said for that, right? I mean, if you can resolve things through discussion and negotiation, great. But when it goes on 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you know, at some point, you got to say, are we wanting to, you know, close this deal or not? And he just doesn't have the patience to wait a decade.
He sure doesn't. Dakota, thank you so much. It's great to speak with you. Thank you for breaking that down, because I do think it's a very impactful thing and a reason to celebrate here when most of the news stories we talk about aren't so much. Great to talk to you, Dakota.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. You too. Let's take a quick break, because when we come back, Stewie, my friend Stewie, Stuart Rosenblum from Stuart's American Mortgage, is going to come on here and talk to us, because I keep seeing from Forbes and Wall Street Journal, and I don't know that I've seen the New York Times. I think the few times that I click on the New York Times to read an article, it's like, you need to pay me, I don't know, 45 cents or something to read this. I'm like, I am not paying you to read this article. But a lot of people talking about the historic lows in the mortgage industry right now. And I've gotten a little birdie who has told me that that might be changing here. So I wanted to bring the information straight to you again from somebody who's way smarter than I am. And that's Stewie. So stick around. We're going to talk to him about that. If you have any mortgage refi questions as well, comment them on our Facebook Live, on the YouTube Live, on the Periscope Live, which is at Andy Fry Show on Twitter if you want to watch that. We're everywhere, or at least we're trying to be. Stewie, on with us when we come back.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Everyone knows that if Biden gets in, this market's going to crash. He's going to build regulations, and his taxes, he's going to tax people $4 trillion. $4 trillion. That will destroy this economy, the likes of which nobody's ever seen before. $4 trillion in taxes.
So are you signing up for that? I mean, it's interesting to see how the economy is kind of, it's kind of booming right now. The economy is kind of coming back a little bit. There's still work that needs to be done. There are still jobs that need to be taken back, but we are starting to see that. And the president is talking about the alternative in November. He also said there, the likes of which have never been seen before. That's a Trumpism.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of things that are the likes of which have never been seen before, which seems as though that in and of itself shouldn't be the case. I don't know. Stewie's here. Let's get Stewie on the line here. I'm not going to talk to you specifically about Joe Biden, but while we're talking about the economic recovery that we're trying to instill here, Stewie is my friend and partner with me on this show with Stewart's American Mortgage. And I'm reading all these headlines. Mortgage rates keep falling. Well, they finally dropped to 0%. That's on Market Watch. CNBC says another record low mortgage rate juiced weekly demand, but rates are suddenly rising now. Stewie, what gives?
All right. So first, what happened in the beginning of the week was some numbers came out on the economy that basically indicated that we're starting to strengthen and go forward a little bit, maybe quicker than we anticipated. Then some inflation concerns popped in, too. So with those two concerns came in about last 48 hours, we've seen rates start to inch upwards, not downwards. Then the government yesterday, the government agency that basically insures and governs Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac agencies dropped a huge bomb on the industry, and they basically said on anybody that's going to refinance their loan, they're going to charge a 0.5% fee just to go ahead and insure it and do the loan. That 0.5% is now going to be factored into the interest rates, and starting today, interest rates are going to start going up and up and up and up and up. So this is a concern that we're going to have in the future. You know, we're in strange times and strange things are happening, and you can't anticipate what's going to happen tomorrow. So if you're in the market to refinance, you may want to grab it now before it starts to get inch up even quicker and it starts to settle into the industry.
You know, I'm thinking about the rates because every once in a while, Stewie will tell me, because apparently the Andy Fry Show listener has been calling you, and you've been working with them and getting them some sweet deals, and you usually call me to tell me about some of the particularly awesome deals that you've been able to get for some of our listeners here. But the rates are so low that even with that 0.5%, they're still going to be lower than my refi that I did just last October, because rates right now are actually so very low. Is that still correct?
It's still correct. With the Bank Buster program, you can get a rate under 3%. It's still there, but there's pressure upwards. And I keep stressing to everybody, take it now, take it now, take it now, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to be. Mm-hmm. If rates go down another 6 months, we can always look at it again, but take advantage while the opportunity is there. You know, the 2.875 on a 30-year fixed rate is absolutely ridiculous historically. You got to think about that overall.
Yeah, and it really does free up a lot of opportunity for people. So when I did my refinance, we elected to, because we had moved into our house in 2015. We didn't refi some, you know, mortgage that we'd been paying off for 10 years. It was a relatively new one. We had a good mortgage rate. We had a very good rate for the time in 2015. Labor Day is the week. It was Labor Day 2015 when we moved in. And then when I was working with you, Stewie, last fall, the rate you were able to get me was significantly lower, and I think my mortgage payment every month dropped about $200. But you're also dealing with a lot of people who are keeping their mortgage, like they can afford what they're paying on their mortgage right now, but they're shaving years and years, like potentially even a decade or more off of the loan that they're paying, and their mortgage payment, their monthly obligation is still staying pretty much the same.
Right. So we had a 97-1 listener that we closed this morning.
Yes.
He went ahead. He's got 27 years left on his mortgage. Okay. We took him to a 20-year loan, and his payment is dropping $150 a month. So sometimes it's about cash flow, and sometimes it's about reducing term. We're talking to a lot of customers right now that are very nervous with what's going on outside, and they want that safety net. So some people are opting to go to a 30-year fix and just prepay it in 20 years. This way you have the opportunity to make the lower payment if something happens in the future. God forbid the vaccine doesn't come out for another 6 months, and all of a sudden you're in a situation where you don't know what your employment status is going to be. It's nice to have the safety net to know that you can go back to the lower payment and be able to shave off $200-$300 on your cash flow if you have to. So you got the best of both worlds. You can pay it off in 20 years and keep the same or lower payment than what you have. And if things get a little troubling, or your wife wants to go out and buy a jacuzzi, you can go ahead and, or you want a jacuzzi, you can go ahead and lower your payment. Believe me, it's happened. We have some funny stories of people coming in and saying, hey, I want jacuzzi and appliances. What am I going to do?
How does this work? Well, I like that you talk about that, the circumstantial thing, because you have the Bank Buster loan, you have the bagel loan. There are other opportunities that you have for people, and you're very good and honest about telling people what is best for them. And I've heard stories from you and from people who have messaged the page after working with you, and they've said, you know, he was honest with us and he told us what was best for us. Joseph is commenting on our Facebook Live right now, and he said, please ask him if loans as small as $180,000 qualify for lowest rates on 30-year. He's told no. I know that you do have some qualifications on some of the products that you offer, but I always encourage people, to, no matter what your circumstances, to call Stewie at 314-324-4440, because you're going to get the truth from him. You want to comment on Joseph's situation there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why $180,000 isn't going to get the fantastic interest rate. Our minimum loan amount is $100,000, okay? $180,000, $250,000, we don't care. You're going to get just as good as a rate, $180,000, as you would at $210,000. Now, you're going to get a little better of a rate if it's $400,000, and a little bit worse of a rate if it's $100,000. But you're talking about an eighth to a quarter percent at most. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that dramatic. So take advantage while you can. We had a $180,000 customer that decided to pay an extra $300 or $400 to be able to get the same rate as somebody with a $400,000. There's so many different scenarios.
Yeah,
that you can do. I have to tell you a very funny 97.1 listener story that we dealt with, though. You're going to love this one. I didn't tell you about it. But we had a customer that was shopping our mortgage with somebody else. They were buying a house. The realtor had told them to go with their lender. Their lender had $3,400 in fees. So they heard us on 97.1. They came to see me. And when they came to see me, they were arguing back and forth. And this is why I mentioned the jacuzzi, because he wanted the jacuzzi. She wanted new appliances, and they didn't have enough money for the down payment and the $3,400 in lender fees to be able to afford both. Well, if you're going to borrow more than $250,000 on a purchase, we have no lender fees. So when they came in here and they found the interest rate was the same or better with no lender fees, he was able to get his jacuzzi. She was able to get her appliances. They walked out like stunned and happy, and then we closed and everything went wonderful.
I've got about 30 seconds left here, Stewie, but you brought up the vaccine. How much does the current news cycle and ultimately November affect what's going to happen with people's opportunity to get these super low rates?
Well, I mean, the basic perspective that we have without getting too political is that the present administration and the present policies are very favorable to keeping interest rates low and our economy bouncing back. If you're going to get into a situation where you're going to increase tax and restrict capital investment overall, that's going to be a situation that the dollar is going to drop, inflation is going to go up, and guess what's going to happen to those interest rates? They're going to skyrocket too. So from our perspective, we're watching very closely as what that can happen, because on paper, it looks like that if the country decides to go towards the democratic way and go ahead with the Democratic Party, we're going to be in a situation that can very, very mean interest rates are going to go up tremendously compared to where we are today.
Well, I got to let you go because I want to make sure I give this number out. You can call or text Stewie and just have him answer your questions. 314-324-4440. That's 314-324-4440. You can't afford not to. The phone call, the text message doesn't cost you anything, and he can save you a boatload of money. Stewie, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for treating our listeners so well.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you again soon. Stewart's American Mortgage, a great friend of mine and a partner, and I am a customer of his, and I encourage you to give him that phone call, text 314-324-4440, because he can help you, and I want to connect you with that. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tyrus, not about mortgages. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.